there's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for underdog.
You know what that music means? Yeah. You know, everything was in question in 2020. We didn't know, is it going to be silly underdogs? Man, for months, guys, back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, hour number three on this Thursday afternoon, we had no idea if there was going to be college football. We had no idea if there was going to be football, period. And we're like, well, we saw so many times this year things were fluid. They were week to week. Well, you know, as we sit here today and you hear that music, you know indeed we are playing Silly Underdog Picks. A little bit twist. You've heard us talk about it today. We're going to pick a college game and an NFL game every week. So you just don't know the college football schedule week to week. Some games get postponed. It can be a little light, especially right now. It's going to pick up here very, very soon. You know, it's picking up this week, to be honest. And then next week, it'll be even more, and then the following week. And so, but that's what we're going to do this year. You, the listeners out there, you go to thegamenashville.com. Go to our website. Play along like you have every year. We've had great numbers. You still get three picks, and it's going to be three of whatever you want. You can pick three NFL games. You can pick three college games, whatever combination that you want. Let's say hello to our panel. Darren McFarland, that's me. Chase McCabe.
That's
me. Alongside, yeah, that's him. We're going to be a part of this. We bring in the former quarterback, Kelly Holcomb. Longtime NFL quarterback, MTSU great. He's still searching for that championship in Silly Underdog Picks, I think.
No.
You have,
I got a championship.
You do have, okay.
I was about to say.
That was with a question mark.
Yeah, and the year I won it, I beat y'all down.
Oh, was that the year that you picked a game that already started?
No, I think I picked that the year before, but way to bring that up, Chase.
You're welcome.
Kelly, how you doing?
First zinger of the year.
I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
Well, we're just glad we're talking to you guys and we're having this contest because, like I said at the beginning, we weren't sure for a long time.
I know. I've had people ask me about it. They've asked me about it, and I'm like, I can't tell you. I don't even know if we're going to play football. So, you know, I'm glad that things are moving forward with all this.
Well, speaking of that, how has that gone to this point?
It's gone good. I've had a couple of interviews, and I've talked about Bernard Childers. I thought he's done a real good job with the TSSAA. They've allowed us to, you know, we've started on time, and they hadn't bothered us, and you know, they've given us guidelines and. And I'm sure Chris can talk about this too, but they've given everybody guidelines. You try to follow them. It's hard to keep kids on, you know, away from each other, especially when they first came back. I mean, they're all excited to see each other, and I don't know how you social distance, you know, in a contact sport. But I think, you know, I've got to, you know, I commend the TSSAA for what they've done, and they've got, you know, we can't have as many fans, but you know, there's still excitement and there's still guys getting to play football, which I think that everybody in the country needs an outlet, and football is the way to do it.
Well, we haven't had an NFL game yet. That starts tonight. We've had a little smattering of some college football games. And, Kelly, most of them have been pretty lopsided. It's been sloppy and lopsided. How about on your – because nobody's been able to do things normal. So how has it been that aspect for you guys?
Well, it's tough. I'll be honest with you because I'm not a huge spring football guy, but – after seeing this and not being able to practice spring football. And, you know, I told the kids the other day, I mean, y'all just played your third scrimmage. I mean, we normally have five scrimmages before, you know, two in the spring and three in the fall. So you normally have some time or you get to go against some other teams. And it's been tough. I mean, it has been tough. But, you know, I can't imagine the NFL. They've had no preseason game. So it's going to be a little different for folks. And I don't know the product on the field. I don't know if you're going to get as much quality, you know, at the first of the year, because they haven't had much live action against other people. So it's going to be tough to get some continuity, but, you know, you just got to go about it. You got to try to keep getting better each and every week, and I think that's what we've done as high school coaches.
Let's bring in Forever Titan. Chris Sanders, he is the returning champ. Kelly had a blowout championship Chris was no different. He had a blowout championship.
Rookie of the year and champion.
Yeah, he was MVP and rookie of the year. He took all the hardware. He's now back with us. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, buds. How you doing?
Yeah, hey, buds.
Hey, buds.
Hey, guys,
I'm just sitting here. Hey, I'm just sitting here cleaning up my silly underdog championship ring. Could you excuse me? That's what I'm doing.
You cleaning it? Okay.
How many diamonds on that ring?
We got about 4 or 5 diamonds, and then it has Kelly Holcomb's picture on there. Just remind me that I'm going to beat him again. I mean, so so you know, that just gives me motivation to get another ring. I'm just like Jordan. I just repeat, so I'm ready to roll.
Wow. Okay.
Ready to roll. Just call me Jordan, baby, because I'm ready to repeat.
He's a new general, dude. He's got his he got his spreadsheets out every week.
He's just a mouthy wide receiver. That's what he is.
Oh, my. Hey, appreciate it. Thanks, bud.
So you heard Kelly talk about his experiences to this point and his team. Yeah. How about on your end?
I mean, I think what you run into when you can't practice as much is the development of players. I mean, you can't develop them. I mean, you got a lot of young kids, especially at the high school level, to where you got to develop them and being wide receivers or develop them and being linemen. You don't really have that much time. So I just think that when you have those first games, you're going to struggle. But just like what Kelly said, you know, Bernard, he's done a great job by giving us the guidelines, and we follow those guidelines, and we have football. So I'm very, very thankful. Very thankful.
All right, without further ado, let's bring in, by popular demand, well, at least not for some, the commissioner, Willie Donahue.
Tough job.
Is back. He's kind of like Gary Bettman. He gets booed a lot on this show as the commissioner.
I thought you said Gary Coleman.
What you talking about, Chris?
Great reference to get it going here. Yes, I feel the love. I feel the love, everybody. I know it's part of the job to take the blows, but the commissioner is ready, as always, for another season of this contest that is a Nashville radio tradition going back to 1994. Yes, 1994. It was another great season last year, and as was referenced earlier, the rookie last year, Chris Sanders, stole the show. He just came in and blew everybody away. He had never done the contest before. Kelly Holcomb, who fought for years before taking his first title in 2018, the year before, he thought the path was clear for a repeat. But Chris Sanders came in and dominated, really to the point where the bowls were almost insignificant. But just for good measure, he won a bowl game as well during the bowl draft. So here's just a little smattering of some of the games that he hit on last year. Chris Sanders, let's just bounce around a little bit. Week 13, Colorado, a 14-point underdog at home against Washington. They win. That gave him, at that point, that was really the final nail in the coffin. He ended the regular season with 64.5 points, and that game put him there. So 64.5 at the end of 13 weeks, that's sort of unheard of in the history of our contest, especially for a rookie.
Well, and it was hard to keep up. Was that the dog pick that one? Was that your girlfriend? Was that the service?
Yeah,
it was hard to keep up.
That was a running storyline.
Who was giving you picks? Yeah,
it was my girlfriend. So okay, I can't take any credit. Thank you.
Okay, a couple other games of note. How about Vanderbilt's 21-point dog showing against Missouri, where it looked like it was over and done. It looked like Vanderbilt was going to shut it down, and they shocked a ranked Missouri team in Nashville, 21-14. So Chris got 21 points in that one. And then here's the other one that he was mocked for his picks. Well, actually, two more I want to hit on, because this will make up the bulk of his points last year. SMU, a 9-point dog at TCU. He had some
insider trading.
Inside info on that one. Yes. So we weren't too surprised with that. But here was the one that blew everybody away, too, besides the Vanderbilt one. Stanford, a 16.5-point dog. I think this was one of those Friday night Pac-12 games. 16.5 points, the underdog against Washington, and they won by 10. So those were the ones that just won it for Chris in his rookie season. And he added the bowl win, too, with Texas beating Utah in the Alamo Bowl. And their wins were hard to come by in the bowls for underdogs. So congratulations to Chris.
Thank you,
when it was all over, all said and done, he had 71.5 points. That is the highest that I can ever remember. I don't have the records from every year, but 71.5, that is one of the all-time great performances. So, Rookie of the Year, MVP, title. I don't know how you're going to follow this up, Chris.
I'm going to be in the 80s or 90s this time. Okay.
Well, time will tell. Yeah. Time will tell. That, shooting for new heights.
Yeah, congratulations. Great job. Yeah. Good job. Why don't you have the records, Willie? Like, don't you have an? Doesn't the commissioner have an office or a file cabinet or anything?
The records for every year?
Yeah,
I do. At one point, you know, in different areas of the house, I have different years.
Well, a former member of this esteemed panel would accuse Mahoney of eating them or something. But
yes,
you know,
goes with the program, fellas. Just goes with the program.
I'm just glad that I had the 20. I thought Kelly would give me some love for having the 2018 final standings, where Kelly had the victory, 51 points.
You don't know what the final you don't know what the final standings were.
I have it right here for 2018. Now, don't ask me about 2017 and 2016. That's
yeah,
a little.
Exactly. I mean, but
who had the lowest of all times? Darren should be in that picture.
I think really? Al Dorsey.
I mean, he's got to be in. He didn't win a game until like maybe 7 games into the season.
Did I win a game?
No.
Didn't they were few and far between.
Few.
That's going to change.
As long as you give it your all, that's all that matters.
Starting right now.
It's a new year.
I did
work. Darren's moving forward.
I was working during shutdown, okay? I'm ready to go.
Oh, my goodness.
Willie, how are we doing the draft? What is the draft
orders by standings? We're going to take a break, and then we will come back, and we will announce the draft order, and we will pick for week one.
Okay. Now, I do have a question, Commissioner. I have a question. Because we're picking college and NFL, are we doing that like both picks at once? Are we snaking? How are we doing this?
That's a very good question.
I believe it should be a
great
snake.
Great question.
This is unprecedented, but my thought is, and you can have input, I'll make the final call, but I believe it will snake this year, where you go
you can
if
pick,
you have the last pick in one, you have
one
the first
through
pick
four,
in the other.
Four back to one.
Yes.
Okay, but you like the first round, do we have to do college, or can we just go wherever we want, and then as long as we have one college, one NFL?
You just have to do one of each, so I don't think do you have to start college, or can you just make whatever your first pick is, your first pick, and then you have to go to the other one for your second pick? How's that going to work?
Good question, and I think
the way to go is to go college for one round, and then pro for one round.
So you're
for
forcing
round.
Us to go college first round.
Yeah, we have our
rights. No, it doesn't make any difference to me which one we start with. I just think the first round should be one, and the second round should be the other, and we'll stick to it.
I'm fine. If everyone else is fine with that I'm good with that. Just when you think you have all the answers, I change the questions.
I'm satisfied. So I'm
as well.
Okay. All right. We will come back. Unveil the order, and make our selections. First time for this season, Silly Underdog Picks. That's next.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for Underdog.
Welcome back to Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's time for another season of Silly Underdog Picks. We are excited for our new format this year. We've got some college teams not playing, as we know, so we have added a wrinkle. We are putting in the NFL this year. So Darren McFarland, Kelly Holcomb, Chris Sanders, Chase McCabe, all participating. We are then slimmed down to a four-team field, this is the traditional number of pickers this year, which it was for a long, long time on the show. We expanded, and we have now contracted. So,
well, there were some opt-outs.
There were a couple of opt-outs, and that's to be expected in 2020.
Yeah.
So this is how it goes. So we will have a snake draft based on the reverse order of finish from last year. And so the first round will be college. The second round will be the NFL. We will go with CBS Sports, as we did last year, for the official line, if there's a discrepancy, and there are a couple of college games sort of mismatches against 1AA teams that don't have a line, so if you guys end up picking one, we'll have to try to get creative on how we figure out what the line is. But here is the order. In round one, pick one, we'll go to Darren McFarland, who, congratulations, Darren, you finished dead last year with 14.5 points.
And so you
14 and a half. Okay.
You're the Bengals. You get the first overall pick.
It's better than I thought.
14 and a half, yeah. Chase McCabe, who was right in contention with you, you guys were neck and neck for last year.
Back and forth.
He pulled off a win in the bowl series, thanks to the University of, I think it was Minnesota, that won for you.
Row the boat, baby.
It was. Minnesota's win over Auburn in the Outback Bowl got you out of the cellar, Chase, so you picked second. Kelly Holcomb, who made a run at one point during the season for back-to-back titles but fell short, he picks third. And then Chris Sanders, the defending champion, will pick fourth in the college round and then pick first in the pro round.
There we go.
And then Kelly, Chase, and Darren will round it out. So we go college picks here, and the first pick on the clock, Darren McFarland.
Indian Fever. It starts on the very first inning. Indian Fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer. And I'm a believer.
Oh. The enthusiasm is back.
Oh.
You didn't sing that enthusiastically
believer.
At some points last
no,
year.
I was a beaten dog. I was. But I am ready. I'm ready to go. And I am starting in the ACC, and I'm starting with a 2:30 kickoff, and it's on ABC. Florida State has been down. They're not ready to bounce back yet, and I'm taking Georgia Tech and the 12.5. Oh.
Daggummit.
Mm-hmm. Georgia Tech is a 12.5-point dog on the road at Florida State as the ACC begins their season.
Well, I got a daggummit, so I guess somebody
sounds
like
that was
pick.
On the radar for some people.
Yeah, heck yeah. Darn gummit.
Okay.
All right.
The Yellow Jackets. All right, that brings us to Chase McCabe for pick number two of the first round.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right.
Wow. Well,
as the
first
great,
quarter?
As the great Triple H once said to Jim Ross, I am the game, JR, and that's exactly what I'm going to be this year. Year one was not very good. Year two, I'm going to rebound, and I'm going to win this thing. You mark that down, everybody. You mark that
All
down.
Right.
Mark the tape.
Mark the tape. Darren took my pick, but that's okay. That was to be expected because that was a good one.
It didn't sound like it was okay. You sound
well,
upset.
Whatever. You know, you move on to the next one. You always have a plan B. So my plan B is this. I am going with a guy that we got to know during his time at Austin Peay. Give me Charlotte plus 17 against Appy State.
Oh, I like it.
Wow.
The 49ers
approval. I like it.
Of Charlotte.
We're talking about Charlotte?
talking about Charlotte, man.
We're talking
against
about Charlotte.
App State. So Charlotte is, I have a 17. Did you say 17, Chase?
That's what I said, yep.
17-point dog for Will Healy and the 49ers against App State. Very tough place to win. 11 a.m. start on ESPN2 on Saturday. So
can you really say that, though, this year? Like that's
exactly.
A tough place to win?
App State?
Yeah, they're going to have two fans there.
Can you really say somebody's
well,
got
I guess that's
home,
a good,
home field advantage?
I guess that's a good point. Maybe it's the grass. Maybe it's the air over there. We'll find
so
out.
So was it no Darrington Evans, and you're like, oh, my gosh, App State's not going to recover? They don't have their running back? What was,
possibly.
What went into that pick, Chase?
I trust Will Healy.
You trust Will Healy. Okay, all right. Okay. And will he trust?
All right, that brings us to Kelly Holcomb. A first place finish 2 years ago, a second place finish. Here we go.
And a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
That song is back.
I was going to say, last year you had the catchy tune that all the kids were playing at tailgates
yeah,
and everything, right?
Yeah, no, I had to get rid of that. Hey, I got a question for y'all. Since all this craziness is going on, are y'all all together again, or are y'all like in a basement somewhere by yourself?
We're in various. We've got the whole Middle Tennessee area covered.
You do.
We have not been together in 6 months.
Wow.
We will be tomorrow, okay, though. No. Tomorrow we will be together. We will be at Pete and Terry's tomorrow.
That's true.
Wow. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Well, those are pretty good picks to begin with. There's not many, as we know. But I'm going to have to go with a Sun Belt team. I covered, you know, middle for a while, and I'm going to have to go down to Mobile and take South Alabama Jaguars against the Tulane Green Wave.
I had that one marked.
Hmm.
So did I.
South Alabama is an 8-point home dog against the Green Wave of Tulane.
Always like the home dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But like you just said, there would be like four people in the stand, so I don't know if it really matters anymore.
Well, there was no pandemic last year, and the four fans in the stands, that was our group, didn't help Akron Zips get a win when I was at their game against UAB.
True.
You would think there was a pandemic, but there wasn't.
All right, now it's time to get to the sophomore, the defending champion. What does he have for a follow-up act?
A slump.
Chris Sanders has the final pick of the first round.
The sheriff's in town.
Yeah.
How's your alma mater going to be this year, Chris?
It's going to be the Wow. They're going to be watching this game that I'm about to pick.
I'll tell you what, though. It could be intriguing. If they do start picking or if they start playing later in the season, that's going to spruce up our contest in the month of December.
Well, here's my pick. I'm going with Syracuse over North Carolina. Mm.
Syracuse is a 23-point dog playing at North Carolina in Chapel Hill against Mac Brown and the Tar Heels. Tar Heels kind of a sexy pick right now. We were talking to Mark Schlabaugh about them earlier, but this is right up Chris's alley. He hit on a couple of these ones last year. Now, 23 would be a career high.
Ooh,
remember, we just talked about it. He hit a 16.5, he hit a 14.5, and he hit a 21 last year. So 23, we'll see if he can pull it off.
Let's go.
Chris, if you hit on this, I'll introduce you to Eddie George. I know him. If you hit on this, okay?
Man, I'm just get ready for it. When I win, I'm calling everybody five times in a row.
Back to back.
We know that's happening.
You know that's coming. Man. I don't care if it's 12 at midnight. You're going to see Chris Sanders' face on your phone.
Well, the good news is it's an 11 a.m. Start, so you don't have to worry about waiting until midnight.
Stay up for that one.
The next day. I'm going to call you that day and the next day.
Oh, great.
Thanks.
All right, so we're sticking with Chris and going back and going to the NFL, right?
So, yes, now we switch to round two. This is unprecedented. Right. This is the first time in the history of Silly Underdogs we'll be picking NFL games. So this will be round two, and Chris Sanders has the first pick.
I am going with the New York Giants over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The New York Football Giants taking on the Steelers are a 6-point home dog playing in the Meadowlands. So we'll see what old Daniel Jones and company, Saquon Barkley, have with new coach Joe Judge. Anybody have that on their radar?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's some attractive games. I don't know how these guys feel about it. But
yeah, I think so.
I think there's some underdogs that are going to hit in the NFL. I feel pretty good about that.
Okay. We'll see what factor. The NFL, this is new, a new wrinkle. This is a new concept. Okay, we move up to Kelly for the second pick in the pros.
Okay, so this is obviously a little different. I'm going to say that the L.A. Rams will beat the Dallas Cowboys.
The Rams playing in the brand-new stadium on Sunday night take on the Cowboys as a 3-point home dog.
In their new stadium.
In their new stadium. And they're not going to be able to block Aaron Donald.
Oh. That's an interesting – that's going to be a heck of a game. I like that.
I
see what the Rams have to offer.
They are favored.
After we got to know the Rams well with the Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. That brings us to Chase McCabe for his first pick in the pros.
Yes, and like Darren said, there are some attractive games this week in the NFL. But I am going to take one of those sexy sleeper teams. Give me the Arizona Cardinals plus 7.
The Cardinals are a 7-point dog Sunday afternoon taking on the defending NFC champion 49ers at 3:25 p.m. on Fox. We have a sibling argument going on in the Donick house. My apologies.
Yeah. What we got here?
Got a little fired up. Lunchtime here, lunch hour. Just staring at the computer too long. All right, so we have the Cardinals on the board. So that brings us to Darren for the final pick of week number one.
This is, you guys are going to laugh. I know you're going to laugh at this pick, but
we laugh at everything you do, Darren.
Oh gosh. Fair. What, I got no comeback to any of this. For whatever reason, this team seems to play well against this team. They always find a way to split
or
get a win.
Here we go.
No, that's not it.
Oh, I thought you might go there. Come on. Come on.
If you remember, they put Gronk in the back, in the backfield, and he got burned, and the Dolphins beat the Patriots last year. I think the Dolphins are going to win this game. Miami starts off 1-0. Give me the Dolphins 6.5.
Will they come out with a single wing like they did in the one game to beat the Patriots several years ago? I don't know. But the Dolphins are a 6.5-point dog on the road in New England. So bold pick going Dolphins in that one. So Dolphins on the board.
Is it that bold? You just said the Patriots aren't making the playoffs last hour.
I know. First game in New England. Pretty tough. But, yeah, that would fall into line with what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
All right, so are we ready to review?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what – yes, Isaiah, let's see if he's quick enough to switch from
Isaiah.
Elijah. Elijah, Isaiah. Oh, my gosh.
What happened to Elijah? Where'd he go?
My kids have me rattled.
Is this Marshall Weidman again?
Oh, boy. All right, let's go. Silly underdog picks. Let's see if he's able to transition to the pro music for round two. But this is what we got. Unprecedented. For the first time, two picks by the insiders. First college, then pro. Darren McFarland, with his last place finish last year, as the first pick, he goes with the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech in the ACC opener. 12.5-point dogs down in Tallahassee against Florida State.
Good pick.
Chase McCabe with the second pick. Takes Will Healy and the Charlotte 49ers, a 17-point dog on the road against Appalachian State. We're talking about Charlotte.
Talking about Charlotte.
Kelly Holcomb had the third pick. He selects the Jaguars of South Alabama, an 8-point home dog taking on the Green Wave of Tulane. And finally, rounding out round number one, the defending champion Chris Sanders, entering into his sophomore year. Defending the title, taking Syracuse, a 23-point dog, down in Chapel Hill to take on Mack Brown's UNC Tar Heels. Chris then started the second round with the first NFL pick in silly underdog history, and it is the New York Football Giants.
Let's go, baby.
A 6-point home dog against the Steelers on Monday Night Football, the game that precedes the Titans and the Broncos. Kelly Holcomb then had the second pick. He went with the Rams, the Sunday night game, a 3-point home dog in the brand new stadium against Chase's Cowboys. Then Chase, with the third pick, went with the Cardinals, with Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, kind of a sexy sleeper pick. They're playing at home, a 7-point dog against the 49ers. And then finally, Darren McFarland, going with the Dolphins, a 6.5-point dog on the road in the AFC East against the Tom Brady-less Patriots. Historic game up in Foxborough. So those are the picks for week number one. Remember, you can play online. Go to thegamenashville.com. We've got the prizes on the line. Play every week with the new wrinkle, NFL games to go with the college games. Make your picks before Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Those are our selections for week number one. And, gentlemen, good luck.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. Good luck, Darren. You going to
guys,
start this year?
Guys, thank you very much. It's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to recapping my 2-0 victory next week.
All right.
Okay.
Apologize.
Good luck.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Have a great weekend.
Gary Coleman will be with us next year, next week for the guest picks.
Kelly Holcomb, Chris Sanders. Good stuff from them every Thursday at high noon. We will come back and hear from newest Titan, Jadeveon Clowney. That is next on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll have Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock, our weekly chat with him. We'll talk a little hockey with Elliot from Sportsnet. Right now, though, Jadeveon Clowney spoke with the media for the first time. Newest Titan getting ready for the Denver Broncos on Monday night. Here's what he had to say.
Welcome to Nashville, Jadeveon. And what went into your decision to choose the Titans? You had some suitors here, particularly in the last couple of weeks.
I just was trying to figure out what scheme and what I wanted to be a part of. And I knew when I was with Rabel and Houston, I was all pro, second team all pro, and three Pro Bowls with him. So I was saying in my head, I think I can do that with him in that system. And the system worked well.
Caleb?
Hey, Jadeveon. Welcome to Nashville. So we saw you out there a little bit yesterday. It looked like you fit in right there from the jump talking with a lot of your new teammates and everything. What was that like yesterday, getting to know those guys? And then also, do you feel like you're going to be ready for Monday Night Football and actually play?
First, when I got here, I was talking to Jonathan Joe. He was like, it's a very young team. And it's funny, I'm like one of the oldest in my meeting room. And them guys was, you know, they're young. And for me to get out there, run around with them and get going was great. And as you know, we all got one goal here. That's to win. And, we having a good time in the meet room. I'm getting to know them guys. And Monday night, of course, I'm going to be ready. I got to be. That's what I signed up for. And I'm just looking forward to getting back into playing.
Jim?
JD, appreciate your time. And I guess that everything hinges on what happens this year. But how much do you hope to find a place where you can be long-term like you were in Houston? And do you think this could be the place if things go well?
I hope so, man. It's going well so far. I'm enjoying my time here so far. And, you know, the players accepting me and they having a good time with me. And they like my company right there. It was like, man, I'm glad we can have you on our team. And, you know, you just want to try to go out there and help the team as much as possible. Hopefully they see me as a piece on their defense in the future.
Joe?
Yeah, Jadeveon, you mentioned this scheme and how, you know, those seasons went for you, you know, with Vrabel as your DC in particular in 2017. What is it about this scheme and your skill set that works so well? And how much do you think you will be, you know, moved around to kind of keep offenses guessing?
This thing, I think Mike Vrabel, one of the smartest coaches I think I ever had since I've been playing football. And he knows football front and back, and he knows how to pick guys into position to make plays. And that's what he did in Houston. And when I got here, he started moving me around already. And he just put me in position to make plays. He believed I'm a playmaker, and he believed in my ability to make the plays. So he just keep lining me up all over the place, and I keep executing the calls and making plays for him.
Paul?
Hey, Danny Arnold said that one of the things you guys were working on together at Plex was bend, and that to get more sacks, the bend's got to be better. How much progress do you feel like you've made on that front, and how much different might you be?
I was been with Danny for the last 5.5-6 months since the sports hernia surgery, and we worked on my hips and bending in the whole 7 months, and I think it's helping me a lot here coming off the edge. And I worked on a couple guys on my pass rush moves this offseason, and everything's coming together well. I just got to stay healthy like always. I believe that's everybody's thing in the NFL, staying healthy. And when you're feeling good, you play well. So just staying healthy and taking what I learned off the field and putting it on the field, it's going to come in handy.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Teron?
Yeah, welcome, Jadeveon.
My question is in regards to your versatility. When you look at 2017, Coach Vrabel moved you around all over the front. What is it that makes you able to play so many different positions?
My athletic ability. I feel like I can match up with just about anybody. He feel like I can match up with anybody. And I'm a physical guy. He know I'm physical. And I can do just about anything that he asks me to do. And I try to just execute at the best of my ability. And it's been working out well for me and his system for the last 5 years in Houston. So I hope we come over here and try to do the same thing.
Eric?
Hey, Jadavion, I'm just curious what the thinking was in waiting as long as you did to sign, and did heading to the Seahawks just a few days before the start of the 2019 season, did that give you confidence that you'd come in late with a new team this year and get up to speed quick?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And plus, like I said, this is kind of a lot of carryover from what I learned in Houston the first 5 years. And coming over here, I didn't know it was going to be a lot easier than going back to Seattle, but I knew if I come to a new system, in a system where Mike Rabel's, I knew I can catch on very fast and wouldn't have to think a lot about how going to execute the calls because I have been in his system before. And then, like I said, me being his system and being in Seattle system, I made way more plays in his system than I did when I was in Seattle.
Chris Harris?
Hey, Jadavion. Since you signed with Tennessee, everyone that we've seen talk about the signing just keeps calling you a disruptor. I just want to know, in your mind, what does disruptor mean?
Somebody who can line up all over the place and just disrupt plays. And I feel like I've been doing that in my career for a while, and especially when I was in Houston and even in Seattle. But I try to go out there, disrupt, and make everybody around me better and try to help them make plays off of me, or I'm making the plays. Just try to disrupt offensive linemen and get in the backfield.
Terry?
Jadavion, how much of a chuckle did you get from your new teammates like Taylor Lewan, Will Compton, taking to Twitter to try and recruit you?
It was very funny this offseason. Like right before this last couple of weeks, it was just blew up. Everybody was started calling, like, man, we need you on our team. We need you on our team. So many players around the NFL. I appreciate them guys for knowing what I've been doing. It don't go unnoticed from them guys. I've been playing well, the players in the league, and they all wanted me on their team. And it was a big lift to me knowing I was wanted. And it took a long time because, you know, I wanted to make sure I picked the right team, and whatever scheme I go in, I was going to use the right way. So that's why I ended up.
Buck?
Thanks for doing this, man. What did you know about the Titans personnel on defense before you got here? And we saw you coaching up some of those guys a little bit yesterday on the practice field. Just how good can you be in conjunction with them?
Like I said, that's a lot of young guys. When I got here, I was asking the guys, how old are they? They all said like 23, 22, and 24. And I'm just like, I'm 27. I've been in this league this long. But, I'll just try to help them as much as possible. They asked me what I do and how you do some moves. And I was just walking them through them. And I called Jonathan Joseph before I made my decision because he was here. And he was telling me this team flies around. I said, I know one thing about Mike Rabel. Whatever team he has, he's going to make sure they play hard and fly around to the ball. And I need to be a part of something like that at this stage in my career. And I'm trying to move forward in my career, and I want to be a part of that.
Luke?
Hey, Jadavion, you're coming to a team with a lot of talent on defense, which means you're not going to be asked to be any kind of savior. I was wondering what you've already seen from your teammates on defense. What do you like about guys like Byard and Simmons and Beasley, and what do you think you all can do together?
I think we could be a special group, man. We just got to get out there and practice and execute and have a lot of confidence, and you can get that from practicing. Build your confidence up and going to that game, and you be confident. You know, run to the ball and just make as many plays as we can and stick together. And I think we can do that.
Last one, Kayla.
Hey there again. So I was just curious. I know you have a trainer that you work with clearly in the off season, and that you were able to work with this entire time. I mean, you've obviously kept in great shape. That's important to you. What went into your off season training? And then the part that, you know, when these guys were in camp, what you were doing?
When I got had my sports hernia surgery right after the season, I think I took, 4 days off, and I started going to rehab, even though everything was closed. Plex didn't close down because it was like a rehab spot, and it was working out. So I went there for like 6 months, and I got with them guys there, and we got me back healthy. And then I started working with a guy named Steve, and we worked on the field for like a month and a few, probably like 5 weeks. And we did that, a lot of field work to get me back to my normal self. And then everything, I started feeling great. And I stayed in shape the whole time. And I got here. It's still different from being in football shape than working out shape, because it's just different. Can't explain it. I guess you got to do it to see what I mean. But, you know, I still got to get in that football shape like I want. But I think I felt good coming here, just getting going the first day out. I had full pads on since I've been playing. And I think I moved around well yesterday. And try to keep getting better as long as I'm here.
I lied. I had one last, and then I'll let you get to practice. John?
Hey, Jadeveon. I know you had some really kind words there for Mike Vrabel as a coach. I was also going to ask you kind of what kind of personal relationship you had with Mike over the years, and whether that played a part, and you know, did he have a role in sort of the, I guess, recruitment of you, you know, trying to get you to come here? Did you talk to him much?
Yeah, for sure. That role helped, because when I got hurt in Houston, he was there for me. He trained me. He worked out with me. He got me back. He stayed on me, and he wanted me to get back healthy because he knew my potential. So he stayed on me the whole time. That offseason, he was working out with me and training me. And I know I always felt like he was there for me, and he told me, he was in my coaching. He taught me so much football when I was with him. I think I learned the most football I ever learned with the guy, about sets and what type of runs that you see and everything. And, you know, when I got the opportunity to pick while I was going out, I knew it was going to play a big part in that, knowing him and knowing what I learned from here. So I knew I couldn't be wrong coming here.
Appreciate your time.
There you go, Titan, newest Titan, Jadeveon Clowney, speaking with the media for the first time about him choosing to come here. I'll tell you what, guys, it was pretty interesting listening to him. There's no doubt that Mike Vrabel played a huge part in his decision to sign with the Titans.
We speculated a lot during the offseason that it would be a fit, that we thought Clowney deep down had a desire to be here. And I think that was pretty validated right there, that he thinks the world of Mike Vrabel. He knew he could come in late and know what was expected of him. He loves how Mike Vrabel used him in Houston. So all of that stuff that, you know, we couldn't ever confirm all those weeks and months that we talked about it from the beginning of the offseason. I think he had no problem sort of sharing that it was a fit from the start. And I have to believe it was just trying to wait as long as he could to get the best deal he possibly could for himself.
Yeah. And I think that relationship's going to be important, though, because you can just tell that Mike King, he knows how to get the best out of a player. He appeared to get the best out of Jadeveon. And I believe that, you know, maybe he didn't say it, but you kind of get that sense of that's what Jadeveon needs. That's what he wants, that he wants that coach that's going to push him and try and get the best out of him. So if that's all true, then you have to feel good about his season with the Titans. If it's a one and done, then, you know, you hope for the best and they can achieve their goals. But you got to feel good about this matchup. I thought it was interesting, though, that he brought up the football shape and getting in football shape. That's something we've talked about. So I'll be paying attention to that, of what that looks like on Monday. Of course, the player is going to say, yeah, I'm ready to go, I'm going to play. But I truly believe that, and I believe that he is going to play. So I liked it. That was a good introductory press conference for him.
I think over-under snaps is going to have to be in pick six tomorrow.
I agree.
That's going to be an intriguing one to watch for Monday.
It will, and you heard a little sneak preview of specifically why Clowney thought it was a good fit. He obviously likes moving around on the front and creating matchups. J.J. Watt used to do it a lot to the Titans. I can remember some really rough Sundays for Titans offensive linemen and quarterbacks where you weren't quite sure where he was going to line up, but they created a situation where he had a good mismatch or a good matchup. I don't know how quick it'll happen. I'm curious to see how they use him right from the get-go. But it sounds like that's intriguing to Clowney, because you would think that would lead to sacks, right? If he becomes the guy that the offense has to break the huddle and say, okay, where is Clowney lined up? That can be a great weapon, a great tool for a defense.
And, you know, I mean, I guess how would we describe there's not a ton of work on Drew Lock, even though we watched him in the SEC. How would you describe, I've kind of poked fun that Joe Flacco was a statue last year. I mean, would we describe Drew Lock as more traditional, mobile? What would be our tag we would put on Drew Lock?
That's a good question.
He's young, so he's more mobile
right, but
than some.
I think he's more – I mean, I think any quarterback today can move more than your traditional quarterback. That's just kind of the way of the world. But I would say that he's more of a pocket guy.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I mean, I would say he's more like Sam Darnold than Josh Allen, right?
Yeah,
no doubt
that's a fair comparison.
Yeah, I don't think most guys, because of the way college football is played, are very few are labeled statues anymore. But I think he's more traditional than a real mobile guy. So that should help. I guess the point of this is to say he should help them. That should help the Titans in what we're talking about.
Last year, 18 rushes for 72 yards for
there
Drew Lock. So. In five games. So that's
right.
That's not nothing.
That's three and a half rushes.
Four yards a carry, a long of 12. So, not nothing, but certainly not something you
not
put
a
at
threat.
The top of your scouting report. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if he was a threat, we would have known. You know what I mean? We kind of sat there and was like, that's a good small sampling. But if we knew that he was a guy that, hey, you better be careful. That's what we knew Mariota right out of the gates. You had to be careful.
Right. He's not that.
With
he's
his
not
legs.
That.
He's not that.
But 64% completion percentage, 4-1 in five starts, 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. A pretty good, pretty good training ground. To say, well, maybe we have something here. He certainly earned the right to start the next year.
Now, the question is, what does the body of work look like for 16 games as opposed to 5 or 6 games?
Right, 5 or 6 when your team is out of it. That's what it amounts
that's
to.
Right.
But now it'll be a little more focus. How did they do it? What are his tendencies? How do we try to exploit his weaknesses? So that will be the name of the game on Monday.
Here's another stat for you with him real quick. Under 2.5 seconds in the pocket, he had 55 completions, 5 touchdowns out of that. Over 2.5 seconds in the pocket, 45 completions, 2 touchdowns. So something to just keep in mind.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that young guys, that's the thing that coaches work on the most is getting rid of. They tend to hold on to the ball too long. Especially when they get to the next, the highest level, because in college you obviously have more time, and I think that is one thing you can exploit as a young quarterback is him holding on to the football too long, and so we'll find out if the Titans can take advantage of that on Monday night. We'll come back. We'll start the fourth and final hour with Elliot Friedman. That's next.